Coming up on today's show...
To display my faith, to encourage the kids to be young men of faith, it was very easy, and it was a great environment. It's because that's what was taught to me.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net. At the top of the website, there are links to Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram, so you can engage with me and the show that way. Look for those logos, those links there for whichever platform, or platforms plural, you enjoy using. A reminder, too, about the Catholic Sports Radio community, that is the Facebook group, which is free to join, and which you can also find a link for on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Remember, too, that any and all of those give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email. In the case of the latter, you can write to me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. In case you have not heard the show the last 2 weeks, stick around because I'm going to be giving out the details again for the giveaway that is going on this month in terms of what you can win and how you can enter to win. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. If you've ever cleaned out a basement or an attic or maybe a garage, there's a chance that you've come across a piece of sports equipment from years gone by. It had seen its better days and there are memories, but it would take some cleaning up to get it back to being able to be used again. Some pitchers struggle in baseball and will decide to pull out an old pitch that they haven't thrown in many years. It's something in their arsenal that they'd like to start using again. In all of these cases that I'm describing, there is a desire to start anew again. Our faith life can, unfortunately, become dormant at times, for some folks maybe longer than others. But regardless of the length of time, the important development is wanting to re-immerse ourselves. Usually a priest will advise that you start with going to confession. Taking action, though, is what's important to reconnect with your faith. In John chapter 3, we read in verses 3 through 5, quote, "Jesus answered and said to him, Amen, amen, I say to you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can a person once grown old be born again? Surely he cannot re-enter his mother's womb and be born again, can he? Jesus answered, Amen, amen, I say to you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest was a three-sport athlete in high school before going on to Siena Heights University, where he was on the baseball roster for 2 years. He was a CYO athletic director and coached basketball at two Catholic schools. At a different Catholic high school, he was the athletic director before moving on to associate director of the Detroit Catholic High School League. He has also served as chairperson, lead driver of No Sports on Sunday in the Archdiocese of Detroit, and is a certified Play Like a Champion sports ministry coach and parent presenter. He's the athletics and student services coordinator for the Archdiocese of Detroit in the Department of Catholic Schools. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Mike Evoy.
Thanks, Bruce. And I got to thank you for that wonderful introduction. I didn't realize I did some of those things.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Glad to have you here. Unless I'm wrong, from everything I can tell, you are a Michigan guy through and through. Is that where you were born? And for that matter, how many of you were there in the household? And where did you fall in terms of oldest, youngest, middle, et cetera?
Born and raised in Detroit. You're right. I'm a Michigan man. And I am the oldest of two. My father divorced my mother early on. So I come from a single parent household, and it was just the three of us.
So you are the firstborn, meaning the second is a brother or sister?
Oh, I apologize. It's my kid's sister. If she listens to this podcast, which I think she will give me grief over forgetting it. So I apologize.
So, Mike, talk about the presence of the Catholic faith in your household when you were just a boy, including the parish and the school that you attended.
It was a focal point of the house. We always attended Mass on Sunday. When I was in middle school, we moved to a house directly across the street from the school and the convent. So the IHM nuns were my neighbor. They used to periodically sit on the front porch. And so my faith was exceptional, if you would, from the standpoint of all the resources. I lived across the street from our church. So there was no reason not to be able to just to stop in, say a prayer, go to Mass, see the priests, see the nuns, just walk in the neighborhood. It was a faith-filled environment.
What was the name of that parish and school? And I'm scared to ask, are they both still there today with, unfortunately, the number of churches and Catholic schools that we've seen close the doors over the years?
The parish is still there. It's Holy Redeemer Parish in southwest Detroit. I actually grew up in the city. And the elementary school is still there. The high school closed in 2005, and that's a unique story that, depending on the way you ask some questions, I can get into a little bit later. But the parish is still there, and so is the school. The IHM sisters ran the school, and in my childhood, the Redemptorist community were the priests of the parish itself. A little fun fact here, Bruce. My childhood pastor was Cardinal Joe Tobin.
Ah.
Out of Jersey. Yes, yes. So I learned a great many things from Cardinal Tobin, but one of them was a few curse words. So whenever anybody questions me about my language, I go, well, I learned it from a cardinal. You got to bring it up with him. So.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. I mentioned in the intro that you played three sports in high school, but when did you actually first start playing sports? Who or what got you interested in playing sports? And for that matter, what were the various sports that you were playing as a boy?
My first sport for the school was in fifth grade. It was the earliest they would allow us to play CYO athletics. And I started off with basketball. And from fifth grade on, I was always involved in whatever sport was offered at the time. Mm. So I played basketball at the school. And then in the summertime, I would ride my bike over to the neighborhood park. And the Detroit Police Athletic League provided a number of opportunities for kids in the neighborhood and throughout the city of Detroit. I learned how to play tennis through Detroit PAL. I played singles and doubles for a couple of summers. And then I moved on to playing baseball by the seventh and eighth grade. And so at the same time, I was playing CYO basketball and baseball for Holy Redeemer. And then into high school, I actually went out for football and really wasn't for me. And so the coach encouraged me to go try something else, which you don't hear of too often these days, right? They'll keep a kid on a team necessarily sometimes, but he encouraged me to go out for cross country. So I ran cross country, played basketball, and played baseball in high school all 4 years.
Mm. Wow, there you go. And thus, audience, me introducing Mike as a three-sport athlete in high school. One thing I learned in preparing for my conversation with Mike today is that Siena Heights University is a private Roman Catholic university in Adrian, Michigan, founded by the Adrian Dominican Sisters in 1919. I'm disappointed to have never heard of that school, but heck, they even have baseball there, as evidenced by my having said in the intro that Mike was on the baseball roster for 2 years. Mike, tell us more about that school and your time there, both faith-wise and sports-wise.
Faith-wise, it continued from high school. I practiced my faith, maybe not as much as I should have, if you would, during those college years, but it was somewhat encouraged, though, by my coach at the time. He was a Catholic High School League product as well. He attended Water for Our Lady of the Lakes. And so when I say I was on the roster, that's code for I didn't play a whole lot. Mm-hmm. Like when you got the game program, you would see my name there, but it didn't mean I was getting into the game necessarily. Mm-hmm. And I think he took a little bit of I don't want to call it pity on me, but he was like, yeah, you can come to Siena Heights and play baseball. And I did it for a few years. And unfortunately, Bruce, my ego took over. And because I wasn't playing a lot, I decided to, you know what, I'm going to step away from baseball. I'm not playing. This isn't working out. And while my time away from the game itself, I developed some great friendships of people who weren't necessarily baseball players. However, I was a little lost without that routine, that foundation. For everything up until that point, it was school, sports, faith. Not necessarily in that order, right? But it was those three things that were always there for me. And so I lost a part of it when I stopped playing baseball. So, but it was a great time up at Siena. And there again, I was fortunate enough to have another caring coach who was a practicing Catholic. A good example for me as a young Catholic male to see that it was okay to be competitive in athletics, but also a person of faith, going to Mass, leading us in prayer. So, and I was very fortunate to have those examples. It started when I was in CYO. I had younger, they were probably late 20-something coaches, single men, and they were just giving back to the community. And I would see them at Mass on Sunday. It wasn't just talk pregame, postgame, let's say a prayer, and then they would act like maniacs and I never see them again. No. Now, they may have acted like maniacs a little bit, but they led us in prayer. But also, when I went to Mass, I would see them in the pews. I would see them worshiping. And what a great example, I always feel, for young men to see other men practicing their faith.
Indeed, indeed.
I was very fortunate from fifth grade all the way through my time at Siena Heights University. I was always surrounded by coaches who practiced their faith.
That's awesome.
And it really played a major influence on me.
I'm thinking that you're going to tell me that it was sometime after college, but maybe I'm wrong. Tell me, when did you start to see that your adult life would pretty much always likely have some sports component to it? Was that, in fact, by design, or were a lot of those roles that I mentioned in the intro just organic? They came to you, maybe God's hand in it all.
God did have a hand in it all, but there was a deciding moment when I was in undergrad at Siena Heights. I was offered an opportunity to get a job with the U.S. government about a year before graduation. But I knew that that role was going to lead to a lot of travel. And I would not be around, if I was fortunate enough to have a wife and children, I wouldn't be around enough in the house. And I really felt it was important. I wanted to be a part of my kids' life. If God blessed me with children, which he has, but at that time I didn't know what the plan was, right? I wanted to be able to coach my kids. I wanted to be able to attend their games. And so I made the decision right then and there. I wasn't going to go work for the government. And I went into education. I changed my major and changed my mindset. And I knew I was always going to be in education. And I wanted to have a part in educational athletics. I didn't know how I was going to do it or where. But that was really what I felt was my calling.
Okay. And you'll notice, folks, that when I referred to Siena Heights University, I'd said one thing I learned in preparing for my conversation with Mike today. So I'm about to learn a second something from him, which is what exactly the Catholic High School League is, because I did read that it is the largest Catholic sports league in the U.S. But if you've not been listening the last 2 weeks, you are about to learn how you can enter to win a giveaway that's going on all throughout this month. First, let me thank everyone who listens to the show. I'm doing this for the Lord, and I'm doing this for all of you. I'm certainly not doing it for money, since I don't get any income for doing this show, nor do I have any sponsors. That's why I ask each week that you prayerfully consider making a financial gift to my ministry by using the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. or contacting me to ask for the address to send me a check through the mail. Meanwhile, yes, there is a giveaway that the entry period will close at the end of next week. You can win a copy of the children's book that you heard Aaron Brostel mention last month on episode 224. Maybe you have a child or a grandchild that this would be good for, or a niece or nephew, or just basically some 0 to 5-year-old that would enjoy it. It is a picture book called God Made the Moonlight. You can look the book up online if you so desire, but Aaron has been kind enough to give me a copy so that I can give it away to one of you. In fact, on the show page for last week's episode with Dave Matheson, and again for the page on CatholicSportsRadio.net for Mike Evoy's episode, I'm putting a link to the page on Aaron Brostel's website where you can see the details of her God Made the Moonlight book. All you need to do to enter is to write to me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net and let me know that you heard about the book giveaway and would like to be entered to win. This is running all throughout June, so get your email to me by 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday night, June 30th, and then I will draw one lucky winner on Saturday, July 1st, and the winner will be contacted then. I even posted a picture recently of me holding the book on the Catholic Sports Radio Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram accounts. Get your entry in to me via email, and good luck. Mike, I want to focus on a period of time when you were CYO athletic director and 7th and 8th grade basketball coach for 1 year at Holy Redeemer Elementary. In a case like that, do they expect you to be teaching kids about the faith as much as about basketball, or is it the exact opposite, meaning we're a Catholic school, we will teach them about the faith, you just make sure they become better basketball players? Or maybe it's a case of, Bruce, I can't suppress my Catholic faith, it's just going to come through regardless of whether someone asks me to express it or keep it quiet.
Well, Bruce, I got to be honest with you, it was really easy to express my faith there because I was a product of the school. I had the fortune of going back to Holy Redeemer and being the basketball coach and the CYO athletic director. And so I was able to do and model what was given to me as a student athlete there, which was, yeah, I'm going to teach you about the game of basketball. And I don't know if I was really good at it. Our record didn't reflect it. But the IHM sisters, in particular, two of them, Sister Regina Mary and Sister Jane Osser, would always attend the kids' games. And so I made a point of talking to the young men about, you got to not only thank your guardian or your parents, but also Sister Regina Mary and Sister Jane Arthur for attending the game, for being there to support you, right? The giving back, to give thanks for what God's provided you in your life. Because sometimes we can get caught up in, I don't have this or I don't have that. But I always felt that it was important for the kids to realize what they do have. Think about the sacrifice somebody's made to allow you to come and participate in basketball, to attend the school, right? And look at the Sister Jane Arthur, Sister Jane Mary sitting here cheering you on. They may or may not have you in class, but they're here for you. And so to display my faith, to encourage the kids to be young men of faith, it was very easy. And it was a great environment. It's because that's what was taught to me. So.
And is that the school that you said earlier? You said we can talk about it later, the story about what ended up happening?
Yes. So when I came back from CNIH University, went back to Holy Redeemer, started coaching, teaching there, became the dean of students for the high school. I met my wife there. She was part of AmeriCorps. And we got engaged. We got married. But just prior to our marriage, we found out that they were closing the high school. So we were both going to be without jobs.
Wow.
So, yes, but everything has turned out well. It was a difficult time, though, for us. But so Holy Redeemer not only provided me all my sacraments, it led me to meeting my wife, which and we got married there as well. I joke, Bruce, we were very, very fortunate. But our wedding was somewhat like a, I guess you could say, a bad Motown concert, because we were very fortunate. We had six priests and a bishop all preside over it. Well, Bruce, I cannot tell you any lies. It was all because of my wife. Everybody loves my wife. I'm just along for the ride. So, but they ended up closing Holy Redeemer High School in 2005. So when you had talked about, you know, some of the school closing and parishes and that, it did happen at the high school, but it led to some great things. They have since reopened the high school building and turned it into a Crystal Ray High School, which is doing wonderful work. Yeah, they're doing great work in the community. So
while we're talking about high schools, I hinted at this before, Tell us about the Catholic High School League, especially since it is the largest Catholic sports league in the U.S., including, does the CHSL emphasize the Catholic element, or am I reading too much into the name and it's just a traditional league for teams?
No. This is a league of faith. The league has been around since 1926.
Mm.
So we're starting to make preparations for our 100th anniversary. Here in within the last, say, 10 to 15 years, we did open it up to non-public schools, schools of non-denomination. We have a Jewish high school academy. We have a Lutheran high school. We also have a few non-denominational high schools as part of our league as a whole. And then going next year, we're evangelizing into Ohio.
Mm.
The five Toledo Catholic high schools are going to become members of our league. So that's going to push our membership up to 33 high schools in Metro Detroit and Toledo.
Wow.
Will be a part of the Catholic High School League.
Mm.
And with that, we demonstrate and practice our faith. We start every athletic contest. If there's a microphone available, we start it with prayer.
Mm.
Every level foreseeable. It's funny, before we started today's interview, I was working on our rosary rally, which we're going to do in August at Ford Field, home of the Detroit Lions. We invite all the fall athletes down, and we stand on the field, and we say the rosary.
Wow.
And we'll have a testimonial. Last year, we had Chris Spielman. I don't know if you're a football fan, but he played for the Detroit Lions. He's a great man of faith. And we've had a testimonial every year. I believe this is going to be year 9 for us of having a rosary rally to kick off the year.
And how many sports are there in the Catholic Sports League?
We sponsor 27 sports.
Wow.
We have over 52 championships. Believe it or not, we have more female sports than male sports as far as championships. And it's just it just worked out that way. But me being the father of three daughters, I fully support that. But that's a side note. But, yeah, we're very fortunate. We host our championships at the premier venues here in Metro Detroit. Ford Field, which is home of the Detroit Lions, we have our football championship there. We have our basketball championships at the University of Detroit Mercy. And our baseball championships are played at Comerica Park, home of the Detroit Tigers.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. I feel very fortunate to be working in the league office.
No doubt. No doubt. Very recently on the show, and it might have been as recently as last week with Dave Matheson, I referred to the fourth ever episode of this show when Mike Candrea, longtime college softball coach at Arizona and head coach of the U.S. women's Olympic softball team that won the gold medal in Athens in 2004, said to me, "What kind of message are we sending to our student athletes when we're scheduling tournaments on a Sunday, yet out of the other side of our mouth telling them that they need to be going to church every weekend?" So, Mike, I'm super anxious to hear from you about the no sports on Sunday from the Archdiocese of Detroit and your chairperson role with that.
Well, Archbishop Vingren called for a synod for the Archdiocese of Detroit, and it was Synod 16. And out of one of the many fruits that came out of the synod was no sports on Sunday. And they asked that I would be the lead driver of ensuring that this would happen. And so over the course of 18 months, meeting with different constituents, whether it was at the CYO level or even the league in which I worked in, the Catholic High School League, we discussed how to make it possible. At no point, Bruce, was there an option of us not doing this.
Mm.
The Holy Spirit drove this, right, through all the hard work at the Synod. And what I always kept coming back to is, in the state of California, they're chopped up into five separate state associations. And it's a public school, state athletic association. They do not allow for athletic competition or practice to take place on a Sunday. Now, we know how large California is.
Yeah.
It's so large they chop it up into five parts. It's much larger by participation than the Archdiocese of Detroit, CYO, and Catholic High School. So don't tell me they can do it in California, but we couldn't do it in Metro Detroit.
Yeah,
Wow. It was just the matter of fact that we needed to figure it out. And it was somewhat hard for people to understand or get behind, but that was over 5 years ago. So we're going into year five of year six, no sports
fantastic.
On Sunday.
Fantastic, fantastic.
It is. And being a father of four children, wow. My wife and I just look at one another. So tired by Saturday afternoon, chasing the kids, having to take them to practice this night. And we think to ourselves, it's okay. We have Sunday. We're going to go to Mass. We're all going to stay home, and we're going to be together. And yeah. That was the intent.
A day of rest.
A day of rest, but not just for Mass attendance to increase. That isn't what the purpose was or the point. It was for the family. Well, time for the family to be together.
And to keep holy the Sabbath.
Yes. Yes. And so, but it's been great. And now we've gotten to the point that we have to remind people why we do it. Because now, like I said, we're entering year six, and some people don't realize what the true purpose and intent and how God led us to this point. Mm. It isn't that somebody just said, you know what, we're not doing sports anymore on Sunday. No, this is driven by the Holy Spirit through the fruits of the sin and 16.
Beautiful.
So,
I mentioned in the intro that you are a certified Play Like a Champion sports ministry coach and parent presenter, but as much as you and I know what that program is, I can't pretend to think that everyone listening is familiar with it. Share about that role of yours in that program.
I came across a program about 8 years ago, and it's really a workshop designed to help parents, coaches, and student athletes stay committed to their faith and also be a competitive athlete. I think so often parents believe that they have to be an additional coach on the drive home, for example, right? Like, you missed this shot. Why didn't you hit the cutoff here? Why did you swing at this bad pitch on the drive home after athletic contest? And Play Like a Champion today helps them, the parents, the coaches, and student athletes, to put things in perspective. As a parent myself, Bruce, I'll tell you, it has come in handy so much when I sit there at my kids' games, because I took away one of the greatest things that I was taught. And there was a number of things I was taught in the program, but one of them is always, when a kid gets in the car, every one of my kids will tell you the number one question is, hey, did you have fun today?
Mm.
Right? Did you have fun today? I had fun watching you play.
Wow.
And that's where we leave it.
Wow.
Right? To put it in perspective.
And for the audience, Play Like a Champion today is through Notre Dame University. There's another fun fact that Mike and I stumbled across accidentally in the lead up to today's interview. This interview is being released on Monday, June 19th, which means that it's being released the day after my wedding anniversary and
my wedding anniversary of 18 years to my beautiful bride, Megan.
And so you've mentioned that, I think you said the two of you have four children. Is that the number?
Yeah, we have four lovely children. We got a soon-to-be sophomore in high school in Xavier, soon-to-be freshman in Josephine. And we were blessed, Bruce, believe it or not, with twins, fifth graders, Genevieve and Cecilia, in the fall.
Beautiful, so, beautiful.
Yeah, all through God's grace. He's really blessed me. I'm a very fortunate man.
No doubt, no doubt. Well, happy anniversary to you and your wife. And Mike, really enjoyed the conversation. So thankful that you were able to make time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your family.
Happy anniversary to you and your wife as well, Bruce. Thank you for the opportunity to just share a little bit about my faith.
Yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure. And folks, let's close this week's episode with our sportsman's prayer and do it together, of course, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.